Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Yud Beis. Begin on the very top line, very first words. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas, David Weintraub's father, Rabbi Eliezer Weintraub, Eliezer Lipa Ben Yaakov Mordechai. All the neshamas we learn for shouldn't have an aliyah from our learning. So again, we begin Yud Beis and Mudalev at the very top. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel tells us, Mekablei Kiboles, those people that are hired out to do a job, they are being paid a set amount of money to complete a job. So if a Yid goes and hires a non-Jewish person to work for him, and here we're talking about not working on Chol HaMoed, although we'll get to that momentarily, but here we're talking about he hires this non-Jewish person to do a job for him, and the non-Jewish person is going to go work on Shabbos on this job. So he hires him to go build a chair for him, and the non-Jewish person is going to build a chair for him. So this is called Mekablei Kiboles. He set him aside to do a certain job. He hired him to do a certain job. So if it's besoch hatchom, if it's within the city limits, so then also, because people are going to say, oh, this guy, Chris, is building this chair for this yid, and he's doing it on Shabbos, so the yid told him to do it on Shabbos. However, if it's chutz l'tchom, if it's outside the city limits, so then mutter, because after all, the yid didn't tell him to do it on Shabbos. He had said, go build me a chair. And whenever he builds him the chair, it's fine. If the guy wants to build it on Thursday, the yid has no problem. If he wants to build it on Friday, he has no problem. If he wants to build it on Shabbos, again, the yid's not telling him to work on Shabbos, and therefore it's permissible as long as it doesn't have the Maris Ayin aspect that he's doing it for the yid. He's doing it outside the Tchum. Nobody's going to see him do it on Shabbos because nobody can walk outside the Tchum to see that he's doing it, so therefore it doesn't look like the guy is doing it for the yid at the instruction of the yid on Shabbos. However, that's not 100% true. Omer a papa says no. Even if the guy is doing it outside of the tchum of where this yid lives, so therefore nobody from that city is going to go see the non-Jewish person doing the work seemingly on behalf of the Jew for Shabbos specifically, even though that wasn't what was instructed. Nevertheless, we only said you're allowed to do it outside the tchum as long as it's not within the tchum of another city. That place where the guy is working is not within the tchum of another Jewish city. But if there are Jews in that place where he's working from a different city, so they are going to see him working, and they're going to say, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm building a chair for Yanko. And therefore, they're going to think that the Yid asked the guy to specifically work for him on Shabbos, and therefore, it's Maris Ayin, and therefore, you're not allowed to do what Rav Papa says, if there are any Jews around that will see him working specifically for you. Furthermore, Amar Rav Masharsha, Rav Masharsha says, even in a place where there is no Yid around, V'chileka Moso, the Mikro L'Hosom, even if there are no Jews in the place where the guy is going to be doing the work, and that should be seemingly permissible because the yid didn't ask him to do it on Shabbos, he's Mekablei Kiboles, he was asked to go bring him a chair, doesn't care when he builds it. So nevertheless, Nami, in that situation, it's only permitted, Lo Amar and Ela B'Shabbosos of Yom Tovim, it's only permitted to do this on Shabbos Yantiv, when Yidden aren't allowed to go beyond the Tchum, so therefore it's a guarantee that nobody's going to see the guy doing work that seemingly is being done for this yid on Shabbos. Because the lo shlichi inish to ozli l'hasa, because they're not allowed to go beyond the tchum, so we have to assume that nobody's going to see him do it. However, on chol hamoed, and that's the connection over here, avol b'chol shel moed the shlichi inshe the ozli v'yasu l'hasa. But on chol hamoed, when there is no restriction of tchum, you're allowed to go beyond the tchum. So all of a sudden, Yidden are going to travel to that place where the guy is doing the work, and they're going to ask him, oh, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm building a chair for Yanko. They're going to think that he instructed him to do it specifically on Chol HaMoed, which is Aser, and therefore, in this situation, it's Aser to have him do the work on Chol HaMoed. And you have to tell the non-Jewish person, listen, I want you to build the chair, but you're not allowed to build it on Chol HaMoed. Now the Gemara says, Mar Zutra, who was bereid Rav Nachman, Mar Zutra, the son of Rav Nachman, Banu le'apadna mekablei kiboles chutz l'tchum. He had non-Jewish people work for him to build him a palace, to build him his house that was outside of the Tchum, and seemingly that should be permissible. Now, Ikla Rav Safra, Rav Huna, Bar Chinna, so two great Talmidei Chacham, Rav Safra and Rav Huna, Bar Chinna, lo olu legabe. They wouldn't enter into this palace because it had been built under less than permissible circumstances because it had been built on Chol HaMoed, and therefore it was something that would not be allowed. That's the way Rashi in the Ksiv Yad understands this. Others say that it was built on Shabbos, and even though it was permissible, they didn't want to have any benefit from it, and therefore they lo olu legabe. These two great Amorayim, Rav Safra and Rav Huna Bar Chinina, wouldn't go inside it. And some even say, v'iku d'arme, hu nami, even Mar Zutra himself, Breder of Nachman, lo ol legabe. He didn't go inside of it. Why not? Because even though it may have technically been permissible, it was built on Shabbos, and they felt it was pasnish. All of them, either the two Amorayim or even Mar Zutra himself, he felt it was pasnish to get benefit from this building that had been constructed on Shabbos, even though technically it was permissible. So Gemara questions this. He says, how come? you're allowed to do this. If you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to do this. Vamos shmo, mekabli kibolis, besol chatchum osu, chutzut chum mutter. Why are they going lifnei mishur sadin over here? It technically was permissible, and the Gemara is a terrace that we had before, and we're going to have again, Adam choshuv shiny. Because they were such choshuv a people, if it became known that Mar Zutra, Breda Rav Nachman's house had been built on Shabbos, so that would just not be right. People would forever say, oh, that house that was built on Shabbos, oh, that house was built on Shabbos, and this is Mar Zutra, Breda Rav Nachman, so therefore, they didn't think that it was appropriate, these two Amoraim, to go into such a house, or even Mar Zutra, Breda Rav Nachman himself, didn't think it was appropriate that he should benefit from such a house, because he was an Adam Choshev, because he was a very important person. A very important person is sometimes held to a Lifnei Meshuras HaDin status, rather than the pure Din. That's teretz number one. Because the Amrei, others say no. The reason why, ultimately, these two Amoraim didn't want to go inside this palace, or even Mar Zutra himself didn't want to go in his own palace, was because Siyua Saye Besivna Bahadayu. It's because he assisted the Goyim in making his house. Now, what did he do and assisted them? He didn't chas v'shalom work with them on Shabbos, Rechmona Litzlan, of course not. But he provided them with the straw to go and make the bricks. And therefore, he gave them something, and therefore, when they worked on Shabbos, albeit permissibly because it was outside the Tchum, and he didn't instruct them to work on Shabbos, but since ultimately he was in some way partnering with them, he had assisted them in doing the work, so these two great Amoraim, or even Mar Zutra, Breda Rav Nachman himself, felt it was inappropriate for him to go and get benefit from this apadna, from this palace, this mansion, because he had assisted in some way, albeit in a halachically permissible way, in the construction of this that was done on Shabbos. Gemara continues and tells us, Rav Chama, the great Rav Chama, Shorul Hu Li Avungare, Devei Reish Gelusa, Lemevad Lehu Avidita Becholu Demawada. Rav Chama permitted the Avangare. The Avangare, two definitions over here. One of them means either they were the bathhouse attendants, or others say that they were like carpenters that built tables. And he permitted them to go and either do something with the bathhouse that would not be permitted normally on Chol HaMoed, or to go and build the tables on Chol HaMoed. And he said the reason was, Omar Kivan the Agar lo Koshakli. I'm not really hiring them to do this work. Sharshu Yehudu call me Sharshule. They're doing this work because they want to get in on my good side, so to say, and they're doing a tova for the understanding that I'll be happy with them, and ultimately I'll do a tova back to them, and therefore Veleslambo. Therefore, this is not called hiring people to do work on Chol HaMoed, and since there's nothing impermissible about doing the bathhouse work or building this table, which you needed for Chol HaMoed, so therefore there was no problem of doing malacha in this situation on Chol HaMoed. By he wasn't really hiring them, albeit he was thanking them for doing the work for him, and it would be repaid with a tova in return. Tana Rabbanon mekablin kiboles b'moed lasos liachar moed. Now, the way Rashi understands this is that you're allowed to go and hire out these non-Jewish workers to go do something for you after Yom Tov is over, but you can hire them on Chol HaMoed. Other unfortunately say, no, this is talking about Jews as well. The same dialogue applies, that you're allowed to hire a Jew to do work for you after Chol HaMoed, just like you're allowed to hire a guy to do work for you after Chol HaMoed. After Yom Tov is over, you're allowed to have these people do the work that you arranged that they would do on Chol HaMoed. All you did is arrange the work on Chol HaMoed, and that is allowed. However, to do the actual work on Chol HaMoed, that would of course be also the Moed also. And what's the idea here? Klal Shudavar. The ruling is as follows. Kol Shuoseh. If you are allowed to do something yourself, so then Omer L'Nachiv Yoseh. Then you're allowed to go tell the non-Jewish person that he's allowed to do it for you on Chol HaMoed. If you can do it on Chol HaMoed, you can certainly have him do it on Chol HaMoed. However, if it's something that you can't do on Chol HaMoed, B'choshe Ein Oseh, if you're not able to do it on Chol HaMoed, so then it's like Amir L'Yakim on Shabbos. Ein Omer L'Nachiv Yoseh. You're not allowed to tell the guy to do it for you on Chol HaMoed. So if you can do it on Chol HaMoed, he can do it for you on Chol HaMoed. But if you can't do it on Chol HaMoed, he's not allowed to do it for you on Chol HaMoed as well. Tanidach, another Bryce has said very similarly, you're allowed to go and hire workers out. Again, the simple understanding is not Jewish workers, but the Psak Halacha is for Jewish workers as well. You're allowed to go and contract with somebody that he should do work for you after Yom Tov. You're allowed to do that contract on Chol HaMoed. There's no Isser over here in arranging for work to be done after Chol HaMoed on Chol HaMoed. So you can arrange to have workers come in and do something for you when Sukkot or Pesach is over, and you can arrange that that deal should be made on Chol HaMoed. However, Ubuvad, but when you make this deal, let's say you're hiring a painter, watch, lo yimdo, he's not allowed to measure. Oh, well, you know, this is a room that's 8 by 20, so I'm going to need this much paint. And velo sheyishkol, he shouldn't weigh out whatever needs to be weighed out. If he needs how many bricks he has to do, or whatever it is for building, shlo yimne, he's not allowed to count up certain things. That you're not allowed to do. Kideu shu also behol. If this is a weekday, when you're hiring the person to do this, he would take all sorts of measurements, he would weight certain things, he would say how many tiles I'm going to need. So that you're not allowed to go and do on Chol HaMoed, as you would on a weekday. But to just hire him, that's not a problem. Tana Rabban will learn another braisa. En marvin behema b'chol shamoid. Marvin behema means to assist the male to go and mount the female animal, in other words, that they should have a mating. So you're not allowed to help the animal's mate on chol shamoid. That's considered a malacha, Rashi says, and therefore it's not allowed to be done. And similarly, kayotze bo, likewise, ein marvin b'bechor. You're likewise not allowed to go and assist in a bechor to reproduce, to mount the bechor with the female animal, onto the female animal, because you're not allowed to do avoda with the bechor. You're only allowed to, when the bechor gets a mum, it's allowed to be shechted, and then it is allowed to be eaten, but only eaten. You're not allowed to work with the bechor, you're not allowed to shear a bechor, and you're not allowed to help the bechor to have children. So you can't go and help this bechor mount onto a female animal. And likewise, the same halach applies. A little bit psulei hamukdashin. Psulei hamukdashin are animals that were designated to be korbanos. They got a mum, they were redeemed, and now all you're allowed to do is go and shecht them and eat them. They don't have a mum that makes them a puzzle from a trefa point of view. They're just no longer able to be used as kachim. So they have a cataract in the eye. So it can't be used as kachim, but it still can be eaten. It's a kosher animal. It's not a trefa. And therefore, all you're allowed to do is shecht this animal, but you're not allowed to go and mount it onto a female animal. You can't assist in doing something like that, because that's called working with psulei mukdashim, which you're not allowed to do. So the similarity over here is, just like you're not allowed to go and be marvia, an animal, on chol hamoed, you're also not allowed to go be marvia, bechor, or psulei mukdashim. Tanidach, another braisa tells us similarly, ein marvin behema b'chol shamoy. You're not allowed to go and help an animal mate to mount the male on the female animal on chol hamoed. That's malach, and you're not allowed to do that. Yudomer, it depends. He says, chamora shetova. If the animal, this donkey, this female donkey, is in heat, shetova, it needs to be mated, so then marvino lezochar. So then you can assist it in having the male go and mount this animal, because b'shul shalot itztanin. If you don't do this, it's going to, quote, not be able to cool down, and the animal will then be, Rashi points out, will be very difficult to ever mate this animal again. So if you don't assist it right now, it's going to be essentially barren, and therefore that would be a dover of it, that would be a significant loss to the person, and therefore you'd be allowed to go and do this to prevent a significant loss. However, Ushar called behemos, all the other behemos, which apparently, even if they were in heat, they wouldn't become barren if they didn't go and mate right now, machlis and sol bakaris. All you're allowed to do there is put them together with the male animals and let nature take its course itself. And some of the animals will mate, but you're not allowed to go and assist. As opposed to with the chamora, you're allowed to actually go and assist it, because it will be a hefsid meruba, it will be a financial loss, a dover of it, that you're not are required to go and lose, because you can assist by doing this malacha of marbin olav hazachor. Okay. Tana Rabban, we learn another braisa, in midairin. Midairin means to go and basically have a diur, a living over there. What does that mean? So Rashi tells us, machnisin behem l'asod, k'neishio tziu zevel u'mazav l'nasod. So you go and pen the animals in a certain area, so when they defecate, they'll fertilize that area. And then you move them to another area, and they'll defecate and fertilize that area. So you're not allowed to do this. Ein medayrin, you're not allowed to do this. Lo b'Shabbos, it's not on Shabbos. Lo b'Yom Tov, not on Yom Tov, and not even on Chol HaMoed. Lo b'Chol HaShemoed, because this is considered excessive work, and it's not essential that you do this work. It's not a dover of it, and therefore this is considered a malacha of planting, that you're fertilizing the field, and therefore this is also to do on Shabbos, Yom Tov, or even Chol HaMoed. But Imbo me'alehen, if they came by themselves, what does it mean? Imbo me'alehen. So Rashi in the Ksiv Yad says goyim me'alehen l'dayis sodeo sheyisrael. If the goyim brought their own animals over here onto your field to go and pasture in your field, and by the way, while they do this, they're going to go and fertilize the field, but you didn't ask them to do this. As Rashi says, shalom midayito v'lo kotzaleim, you didn't ask them to do this, and you're not paying them to do this. So if the goyim came on their own with their animals, then even though it's Shabbos, Yom Tov, or Chol HaMoed, mutter. You don't have to go and forcibly stop them, because you didn't ask them to do this. However, you're not allowed to assist them in any way. They Messiah, no son. You can't go and help them in any way to have the animals move from one part of the field to the other part of the field to fertilize different areas of the field. And likewise, in most of them, shomer lenar esonim. You likewise can't go and give them a shomer. Rashi Niksiv Yad tells us over here that we're not goris the words lenar esonim, which he says means lishmor esonim, to help them watch their flock, or lishnachrida lenar esonim means lahazir. To go and constantly make them get up and go down. Because when they stand up, they go and defecate. Then they sit down, you make them get up, they're going to defecate again. So you're not allowed to in any way assist the goyim over here who came voluntarily to the field with their animals. You're not allowed to help them in any way, not by setting up a shomer, and not by doing this lenaris sonam, the definitions that we just said that means. However, if they were hired for you for the entire week to go and fertilize your field, or Schir Chodesh for the month, or Schir Shana for the year, or Schir Shavua for the entire Shemitah period of time that you hired them to do this, so then then you would be allowed to go and assist them in this fashion, because it's clear that they're not doing this for Shabbos, they're doing this all the time, and therefore you'd be allowed to go and assist them. Finally, Rebbe disagrees with this. Rebbe Omer, no. You're not allowed to do this. Tanakhama seems to say that you're allowed to do this all the time. So Rebbe says, no, B'Shabbos, you're allowed to assist them, B'Tova. You can't go do anything special for them, but you can recognize that they did you a favor, and you can eventually repay them with a favor. So this is called Tova Sanoa. You're getting some benefit over here, and you can acknowledge that, and they understand that they'll eventually, since they found favor in your eyes, they'll eventually benefit from that. A Yontif, you're allowed to do a little bit more. Mizonis, you can actually give them food, but you're not allowed to give them money. But Moed, you'd even be allowed to go and pay them Mishar. You can't go and hire them beforehand, but after the fact, you'd be allowed to go and pay them money. And along comes Abba Rav Yosef, Hilchasuk Rebbe. We pass it over here like the more strict opinion of Rebbe, rather than the seemingly more lenient opinion of the Tanakhama. Now we continue with the next Mishnah. V'chein mi shoyo yeino b'soch habor. The first Mishnah that we had, the end of yesterday's shir, talked about Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi as to whether you're allowed to go, and once you add the olives that had been turned over, whether you're allowed to go and finish doing the work on Chol HaMoed. So Rav Yossi had said, yes, you can do whatever you need to do. And Rav Yehuda said, no, you're limited to just putting the first beam on. So that was in regards to the olives. Now we have a very similar Mishnah in regards to wine, and the exact same Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, and the Gemara is going to ask, how can we need the Machlokas twice, once by olives and one by wine? In any event, the Mishnah tells us, Chayin Mishoy Yoyeno B'Soch HaBar, if somebody had their wine inside a bar, the collection pit after the wine had been pressed, and he had done this, and now Nebuch, he became an Ovel, the Eru Evel, like we had in the previous Mishnah, so he's not allowed to have work done for him on the period of time of his Avelus. So now this is going to spoil, the wine is going to spoil, just like we said, the olives are going to spoil. And similarly, if a person had started to do this work before Yontif, and he thought he would have plenty of time to finish it off by Yontif, but something happened, an accident happened, the onus, something occurred that he wasn't able to go and take the wine that was in these pits and go and put it into barrels, and therefore it's going to spoil. Some onus came up. Oshietu, the people that he hired, they finked out on him, and they said, no, we're not coming, or we want more money, or else we're not coming, and he didn't have the workers to come, and now it's Chol HaMoed. So on Chol HaMoed, the Tanakhama Rav Yossi says, Zolev, you're allowed to go and take the wine from these pits and pour it into the barrels for Gomer and complete doing this, the Gof Kidarko, and you're allowed to go and seal these barrels to prevent them from spoiling in any way. In other words, you can do everything Kidarko in the regular way, because this is a Dover Ovud. You didn't leave it specifically for Chol HaMoed. Something came up, an accident happened, and now you're stuck with it, and it's a Dover Ovud. Rav Yossi allows you to do everything to Rav Yossi in the normal fashion, Kidarko. Similar to exactly what we had before in the Mishnah with the Alas. Review the disagrees. Review the Omer, no. Also, Limudim, Bishul Shalo Yachmetz. You're only allowed to cover it up. Either Limudim means that you take some boards and you cover it up, and that will prevent the spoilage. Or others say that he's talking here about still pressing the grapes, and you're allowed to take the boards and press the grapes till the rest of the grapes' juices come out. Shalo Yachmetz. It shouldn't turn sour and turn into vinegar. So, Review the limits what you're allowed to do. Now, this is the exact same machlokas, seemingly, that we had in the previous mission. The Gemara says, Utsrich, why do you need the previous mission with the olives and this mission over here with the wine? Because it says, the Yashminu Kamais, if you only had the previous mission with the olives, you know what it would have said? In that situation, I come Rav Yossi, Mishum de Mishcha, Nofish Pseda. The only reason Rav Yossi allowed you to go do it there because the oil is more expensive than wine. The last Rashi in the Ksiviyat over here says, the Nofish Pseda Shadom of Yeserim, Mishal Yain. It's much more expensive than wine. Oil was more expensive than wine in those days. And therefore, if a person were to have a substantial loss, that's when Rav Yossi said you can do a kedarko. Avol chamra, I would have thought in our Mishnah where it's, quote, only a loss of wine, the low nafish say that's not such a great loss. You know what? Maybe I would have said that Rav Yossi is moda, ema moda, leila Rav Yehuda, that you're not allowed to do a kedarko. You're only allowed to do the more limited type of saving. That's why you need the second Mishnah to teach us the strength of Rav Yossi, that even in the less expensive wine, he still allows you to do kedarko. No, so just tell me that case. V'yashminam v'sraisas. So just tell me the case of the wine, and I'll say, if you're allowed to do it for the wine, you're certainly allowed to do it for the oil. I would have said, no, only b'hayi kamar Rav Yehuda, that Rav Yehuda only forbids you to do it when it's the less expensive wine. Avol b'hach, but in the first Mishnah, with the oil, you know, taka, emu moda Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda would say, since it's such a financial loss, I'll let you do it in the normal way. Therefore, tzricha, therefore, you need both of these Mishnayis. Or Rav Yitzhak Barav says, man tana shinu b'moi b'dover aved, who's the one that requires you to do it with some sort of a shinu? In other words, you can't do a kedarko on cholamoid, even though it's a davar aved. So the loker of Yossi, as we said previously, that's the opinion of Yehuda. It is not the opinion of Rav Yossi. How do we paskin on Rav Yossi? Again, Rav Yossi tells us halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. We paskin over here like Rav Yossi. Gemara asks, "Boy, my name is Rav Nachman Yitzchak. The Yitzchak Nachman Yitzchak in Shaila. Ma lumeisha chavito de shichro bichol de moed." Are you allowed to go and seal? Lumeisha chavito means to seal the barrel of beer. Here we're talking about beer on chol de moed. So Amal who? So they asked it to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and he answered them. We just said, Amar Rav Yosef. He said, Sinai. Sinai was the way he referred to Rav Yosef, with the famous machlokah between Rabbah and Rav Yosef, Ditu Bali Pukta. So Rabbah is called Oker Harim. He is very, very sharp. And Rav Yosef is referred to as Sinai. He was comprehensive in his knowledge. So Sinai, he referred to Rav Yosef, Amar Halach Rav Yosef. We already said that we pass like Rav Yosef, that you're allowed to go and do it kedarko to save the wine. So Mestama, you're allowed to do it for the beer as well. So Gemara says, why is that automatically assumed? Just because Rav Yossi said you're allowed to do it by wine, so why are you allowed to do it automatically by beer? So the Gemara says it's the same exact reasoning. Chamra, by the wine, why did Rav Yossi allow you to do this kedarko? Time on my mishum did nafish pseid, because it's a great financial loss. So beer too, shichonami, it's pseid, it's going to be financial loss. And his rule is that if it's a financial loss, you're allowed to go do it kedarko. And where do we see that beer has some significance financially as well? Because the Omer Abaye said, Omerly Aim, my mother told me. Now, we know, of course, that Abaye was Nebuchadnezzar, and his father died shortly after conception, and his mother died during childbirth. So the Aim that's mentioned throughout Shas is the woman that was raising him. She nursed him. She was his governess. So Abaye always refers to him as his mother. So Omerly Aim, my mother told me, Bar Shis Savoy Vishoya, Mibar Tamne Velo Shoya. Now, what he's saying is it's better to have six saw worth of saorim. Savi either means the saw or it means saorim. So it's better to have only six saw worth of the beer, the saorim, the barley hops, for shoya, but the barrel should be sealed. It'll be a much higher quality rather than having eight saw that is not in a sealed barrel. In other words, the higher quality of the six saw is worth it to lose the extra two saw versus the eight saw of the lower quality beer. So we see that beer is something that is significant if you go and seal it, so therefore it would be a financial loss to the person if he didn't seal it. Amar Rav Chama Bar Guya Amar Rav, Hilchus Moed, Hilchus Kusim Balocha. Rav Chama Bar Guya says the name of Rav, an interesting idea. He says that the halachas of Chol HaMoed are very similar to the halachas of Kusim. And what does he mean by that? Lamai Hilchusa. So Amar Rav Daniel Bar Katina Amar Rav, Rav Daniel, who's the son of Katina, said the name of Rav, Lomar, to teach us, Shehem Akuros. Akuros, Rashi tells us, is Ki'isha Akora, She'en Li'odda Mimena Pri Elagufa. It's like a barren woman that a man doesn't have any benefit from her other than from being his wife, but he won't have any children from her. And therefore, what he's saying over here, this analogy that the halachas of Cholamoid are like the halachas of the Kusim, is in follows. The Ein Lemeid is Zu Mizu. You can't learn out one halacha of Chol HaMoed from another halacha of Chol HaMoed. You can't automatically assume that this is permitted on Chol HaMoed, then that must also be permitted on Chol HaMoed. They don't necessarily always follow logical sequencing. Just like by the Kusim, they didn't always follow logic. Sometimes the Kusim, these were the people that were Geiri Arroyos, they came into Eretz Yisrael when Sanhedrin was Mavavul the world. He would capture a country, so he captured the country of Kuta and he moved them to the Shomron, to Samaria. And they were originally Goyim, but then lions came and attacked them, and they said, well, the God of this land wants us to worship him, so they were converted because of the lions. And it's not clear whether they were true converts or not. And in any event, in some ways, they were machzik, certain things, as Rashi tells us. The Gemara in Chulin tells us, Hecha de Irsik, where they were observant in certain laws. Irsik, they were very, very observant. However, Hecha de Lo Irsik, where they were not observant, Lo Irsik, they didn't observe at all. And you couldn't say, well, if they observed this halacha Shabbos, they automatically observed that halacha Shabbos. The two didn't necessarily correlate. And therefore, just like by the Kusim, you can't say that one law is comparable to the other law. If they were machzik this halacha, they must stumble machzik that halacha. It's not true. There's no rhyme or reason. So too, in terms of Chol HaMoed, you can't learn one halacha from another. Say, if this is permissible in Chol HaMoed, that must be permissible. If this is also Chol HaMoed, that must be also, because there are Shmuel. For example, Shmuel taught us, Zovsin, you're allowed to go and put tar and pitch inside a kuzasa. Kuzasa is a small container, a little jar, vein zovsin chavita, but you're not allowed to go and put the tar and the pitch inside a large barrel. Because the little jar, it's going to be something that's not a lot of work, it's not a tirchi yisera, but to go and tar up this large barrel, that's a lot of work. So Shmuel said, the little work you're allowed to do, a lot of work you're not allowed to do. As opposed to Rav Dimi Minardoi said the exact opposite. Omar, Zovsin Chavisa, you're allowed to go and tar and pitch up the large barrel because that's going to be Hefsid Meruba. If that has leaks or cracks in it, and it doesn't save the stuff that's inside of it, it's going to be a large financial loss. So therefore, you're allowed to do it. Vein Zovsin Kusa, but he doesn't allow you to go and take the small little jar and go in and put the tar and the pitch in on that to go and save that from leaking, because it's a small amount, that it's not a half sin meruba, and therefore it's not allowed. So therefore, you see that these two are totally the opposite. Mar, the case of Rav Dimi min Haradoi, he was concerned about the huge financial loss. Mar Chayish Lev Seda, he wasn't worried about doing a lot of work. He was concerned about the Dover Ovid, the large financial loss. As opposed to Shmuel, Umar Chayish Latirchi, he was more concerned about doing the excessive work, and therefore each of them looked at it from a totally different point of view, and therefore you can't learn one halacha from another halacha by Chol HaMoed, just like you can't learn one halacha by the Kusim. If they were machzik a certain halacha, then they automatically were machzik another halacha. There is no connection automatically. Similarly, Omar Abayi says, Naktinon, we have a similar idea, Hilchos Moed, Kilchos Shabbos, that the halachas of Chol HaMoed are similar to the idea of the halachas of Shabbos. In what way do we mean this? We turn to your base on the base, because Yesh Behem Potter Avol Aser, Yesh Behem Mutter L'Chachila, because there are some things that on Shabbos it is not allowed to be done, but if you did them, it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's Potter, you're not Chayev a carbon, you're Potter from a carbon Chattis Avol Aser, but it's still also nevertheless D'Rabbanan. And there are other things that seemingly are the same, yet they are in fact mutar l'chatchila. So again, you can't go and compare all the halachos of Shabbos. There are some things that you would be allowed to do, and there are other things that you're not allowed to do. And therefore, just like by Hilchos Shabbos, you can't compare it, so too by Hilchos Chol HaMoed, you can't go and compare them. Now, Gemara gives us the following maisa. Rav Huna, chatzulei chatzoda b'moada. Chatzulei chatzoda, so Rashi tells us, in the Ksiv Yad Rashi, they're all the way down into the wider lines, about 6-7 lines into the wider lines of the Ksiv Yad Rashi, and he tells us, "Katzu lo goyim kitzira shel tfuah shlo." They harvested his wheat. V'dover avidu. It was a financial loss if it wasn't harvested, and therefore Rav Huna permitted the workers to go on Chol HaMoed and go and harvest his wheat. Eisvei Rabba by Rav Huna, Rabba, his son, questioned his father. He said to his father, Rav Huna, how are you allowed to do this? Tochanin, the Braisa tells us that you're allowed to go and grind kemach flour b'moed on Chol HaMoed l'tzorech HaMoed. If you need it, you can grind up the flour to make some bread. That you're allowed to do. However, to go and grind up a lot of flour so you'll have after yontif b'shalol l'tzorech HaMoed also, you're not allowed to do that. Similarly, davar she'ovud b'moed, if something is a dover of it, it's going to be a financial loss for you if you don't take care of it on Chol HaMoed. Mutar lasos b'moed, you're allowed to go and take care of that on Chol HaMoed so you don't suffer the financial loss. But a dover she'eino avud b'moed, but it's not going to be a significant financial loss if you don't do it until after yontif is over, you won't suffer a financial loss in Aser. So you're not allowed to go and do it. Now, Ahmed Var Mamurim, when do we say these laws apply? For example, you're allowed to grind kemach if you need it on Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to take care of a dover avid if you need it on Chol HaMoed. It will prevent the loss. That's only when do we say this? We only say this betlushin minakarko. If it's already picked from the ground, in other words, it's no longer attached to the ground, then we allow you to grind the flour. If the grain is mechuber lekarka, you can't go and grind it, even if you need it to sorrow chalamoid, afilu kulu oven, and even if it'll be a huge financial loss, you're not allowed to go and do this, because it's connected to the ground. And therefore, Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, asked to his father, how come you allow the workers to go and reap, to go and harvest your tefuah on chalamoid? Now, we just finished off the brisa. The brisa said, but if a person has nothing to eat, v'mein lo mayalchal, kotzer, then you are allowed to harvest, u'ma'amir, you're allowed to go pile it up, v'dosh, you're allowed to thresh it, v'zor, and winnow it, u'borer, and select out the fine flour from the waste products, v'tochen, and grind it up. U'mamach lo yodush, b'parus. But the one thing you're not allowed to do, you can do everything else in a regular way, but you're not allowed to go and thresh it to do the dosh using cows, using large animals like cows, and we'll see in a moment why that's not true. That's the brisa, but that's Rabba Bar Rav Huna's question on his father. This was attached to the ground. How are you allowed to do this? So his father responds to him. Amalei, Rav Huna says to his son, Rabba, Yichidoi, this brisa that you quoted is a das of Yochid, the Losri Lon Kavasi. We don't pass like this. Where do we see that this is the das of Yochid? Because this brisa is as follows, the Tanya. Klalam, Rishim Gamliel, Mishim Rav Yossi, Rishim Gamliel, Paskin like Rav Yossi, in the following matter. He says, Dovrat Tolush Menakarka, if something is already detached from the ground, so then, even if it's going to be a small loss, Afilu Mitzosu of it, only part of it is going to be a financial loss, it's a dover of it in part only, Mutter. You're allowed to go and save the entire area, the entire item on Cholomite. But if it's attached to the ground, even though afilu kulo of it's going to be a huge financial loss, also you're not allowed to do this. Oh, so this opinion that Rishon Gamliel brought down in the name of Yossi is the das yochid, but we don't paskin like that, and therefore my workers were allowed to go and harvest because it would have been a dover of it if they didn't go and harvest this on cholamite. Nadigmor says, if this is true, that this is the das of Rav Yossi, you're saying this is a das yochid, so Rav Yossi, we've already learned, allows you to do things kidarko. So then, yodush nami b'poros. When the person was in need, so this Bryce said, a poor person who needs to have food, he's allowed to go and harvest and pile it up and winnow and do all the things, the dosh, he can do everything that needs to be done, except he can't do it with cows. So, yodush nami b'poros. Why would he not be allowed to do this with cows? We had said that the opinion of Rav Yehuda, not like Rav Yossi, was that you have to make some sort of a shinoi. But if you're holding like Rav Yossi, and you're allowed to do it, then you're allowed to do it without any shinoi. You're allowed to do it with kedarko. So why can't you go do the dosh b'paros? So Rav Huna would answer that very simply. Om Allah, he says, Hochanami, kiven de choyom halab b'paros daishay, hoyidna nami lav shinuyihu. He says, we never go and do dosh with paros. That's not the normal way that they did dosh. At least for an individual. They're doing it for a large group, maybe. But an individual didn't go and do dosh with the cows. And therefore, you're not allowed to do this on cholamite as well. And the reason why specifically you're not allowed to go and do this is because it's going to make a big commotion over here if people see you suddenly using these cows and say, hey, what's going on over there? Oh, he's dosh his field. He's going and doing work on his field on cholamite. It must be permissible to do so. So therefore, we don't want to raise attention to this. So it's really a Maris Ayin type of a concern. That's why he didn't let them do the dosh with the paros. But not because of the kedarko, because if it was kedarko, he would allow them to have done it. Mark continues with the following brayse: Tana Rabbanan, Tochanin b'moed, the tzorach ha'moed, v'shelo l'tzorach ha'moed aser. Similar to what we said before, this brayse tells us that you're allowed to grind up whatever flour you might need for cholamoid usage. However, if you're not doing it for cholamoid, you're doing it to have additional flour for after cholamoid, because now you have time, you're off from work, you're not allowed to do that. What happens if somebody did leave over extra? He ground more than was necessary. The imtochan v'hosir harizimutter. So we don't say, no, you have to cancel the person, you have to punish the person. So he needed a pound, and he ground a pound and a half. So the extra half a pound, you're allowed to use it after yontif, not a problem. Likewise, kotz in eitzim b'moed l'tzorach ha'moed, v'shelo l'tzorach ha'moed aser. Likewise, you'll have to go cut down firewood. If you need to cut down wood from a tree that you need to use on cholamoid, you're allowed to do so. However, you're not allowed to go cut down wood. You have your time off from work, so I'll go chop a lot of wood. I'll have it for the next 2-3 weeks after yontif. That you're not allowed to do. No, what happens if you chop down more wood than you need unintentionally, that you didn't plan on doing this after cholamoid, but now you have extra wood, you're allowed to use it. Bimkotzas v'hosir harezim mutter. Again, we don't counsel you in this situation as long as the person is obviously not doing this wink-wink. He's cutting down an extra month's worth of wood here, thinking that, quote, he'll need it for cholamoid. Now let it do a trick, as we'll see at the end of this brisa. Furthermore, matilin shechor b'moed l'tzorach ha'moed v'shelo l'tzorach ha'moed aser, you're allowed to go and take beer. Matilin shechor literally means to take the beer. It means to go and make the beer, to go and brew the beer. on Cholamite to drink it on Cholamite. And you're not allowed to do this. Well, I'm already making up a batch. I'll make up a batch for the rest of the month. That you're not allowed to do. But again, if you made more than was really needed for Cholamite, as long as you didn't do this as a trick, v'mhitil v'hosir, if you did make more than you actually need, but it wasn't a trick, hareza mutter. And again, the Braisa concludes, v'vachlo yarmin, all of these situations, you're not allowed to do wink, wink. Oh yeah, I only need for 2 days this much, but it's really much, much more grain and flour that you're grinding up, and much, much more firewood or the beer. In all of the situations, you're not allowed to do a trick. More questions. Another Braisa says you are allowed to do a trick. Reminu says in this Braisa, Meitilin Shecha B'moyed L'Sar HaMoyed V'Shalod L'Sar HaMoyed Osir. It starts off the same way and says you're only allowed to make beer for that which you need on Chol HaMoyed. You're not allowed to make beer for afterwards. But this is true. He says, Echot Shechar Tomorrow V'Echot Shechar Sarim. This is true whether it's a date beer or a barley beer. Both of them have the same rules. And he adds, V'Afa P'Shiyesh Lo Yoshon Marim V'Shosam In Echodosh. Now, the person already has a stock of beer. So he really would have had enough for Chol HaMoed. But this Braisa tells us you are allowed to make a trick and say, oh, I need beer, I'm going to go and make beer and drink that beer on Chol HaMoed, even though you technically didn't have to make that beer for Chol HaMoed because you already had a stock of beer available. Now, obviously, we're not talking about where this beer is going to be a higher quality. The person's allowed to bake fresh bread, that he doesn't have to have day-old bread on Chol HaMoed. That certainly is allowed because it's a better quality. Here we're talking about the beer is the exact same quality. Nevertheless, this Braisa permits you to go and brew more beer, make more beer, even though you technically are going to drink it on Chol HaMoed, but you already had enough beer that you could have drunk your other beer on Chol HaMoed. So the Braisa seems to contradict what we just said, Ubavachalo Yarim. Here it says, Marim Vishosim in Achadosh. Shmuel says, this is a Machlokes Tanoi. These two Braisas are, in fact, a Machlokes Tanoi, he, the Tanya, because we learned in another Braisa, Ein Marim Mekach. You're not allowed to do a Harama. However, Rav Yosef Rehuda, Omer Marimin. Rav Yosef Rehuda says you are allowed to be Marim. So the first Braisa that says that Ubavach lo Yarim, that goes like the Tanakama in this third Braisa. And the second Braisa that said Marim Vishosim in a Chodesh, that goes like the opinion of Yosef Rehuda who says Marimin, you're allowed to do Harama. Another story. Rav Chatzdu Le Chatzoda Becholo de Moada. Rav had people go and harvest his crop, his wheat, on Chol HaMoed and didn't object to this. Shama Shmuel. Shmuel, however, heard this in Ikbid. He was upset that Rav had done this. Now, why? Leimo Shmuel ki yichadadi sfirulei. Was Shmuel following the opinion, the Das Yochid that we said of Rav Yossi, that Rav Shimon Gamliel brought down the name of Rav Yossi, that if something was connected to the ground, it wasn't yet tolush, it was still mechuba lekarka, that you're not allowed to do it even if it's a davar ovid. Now, obviously, Rav wasn't doing this if it wasn't a davar ovid, so it must have been a davar ovid. So the Shmuel get upset at Rav because he didn't follow the opinion that this Das Yochid, the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel in the name of Rav Yossi, that we said before, we don't follow. So why would Shmuel be upset? Shmuel said no. In fact, Shmuel didn't hold like that. Lo. He said, this is wheat over here that he was harvesting. If he had waited till after the Yontif, till after Chol HaMoed was over, and he did this the week after Yontif, it wouldn't have spoiled. It wasn't a davar of it. And therefore, Shmuel felt that this wasn't allowed because it wasn't a davar of it. Nothing to do with the fact that it was still connected to the ground. He just felt that this wheat would not be ruined if you harvested it the week after Yontif, and therefore, he didn't think that Rav had a right to go harvest it on Yontif. No, if that's really true, then Rav, what was he doing? The Rav, my time of Avid Hachi. Why did Rav allow the workers to go and harvest his grain on Chol HaMoed? If it really would not be a davar of it, what was Rav's reasoning? So Gemara says, Rav was in a unique situation, which we'll learn more about in the upcoming Mishnayos as well. Ein lo mayauchal hava. Rav was unfortunately in a state where he had no food to eat, and therefore there was nothing else prepared for him. And he was allowed to go and harvest this in order to go prepare. Because as we said previously, if you have nothing else to eat, you are allowed to go and do the katsira to go and prepare food to eat for Yontif for Chol HaMoed. Now, why didn't Shmuel like this? Well, Shmuel, lo saimuya kameh. Shmuel wasn't aware of this. As Rashi points out, he didn't know this. If he had known this, he wouldn't have been upset at Rav. Alternatively, a second teretz is that Shmuel did know this. Inami, he felt that still, a person of Rav's stature, Odom Choshev Shaini, the same teretz we gave before, people are going to see that Rav does this, so they're going to, unfortunately, learn from this incorrectly, that they're allowed to do it as well. They're not going to know all the circumstances that Rav was in dire straits here and had nothing to eat. And therefore, Rav should have done this in a way that wouldn't lead to this problem. Now, obviously, Rav's allowed to eat. He wasn't supposed to starve because he's an Adam Choshev, but he could have either borrowed from somebody else or he could have had people invite him for lunch, etc. He could have done something that didn't require, according to Shmuel, that he have his harvesting done in this field. Obviously, Rav felt differently. So this is the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Gemara continues with another story. Rav Yehuda Nesiya, Nofak b'chumrosa d'midosha. Rav Yehuda Nesiya, he was the grandson of Rabbi, and he was a great Talmud Chacham, he was an Adam Chashav, and he went out into his courtyard with a ring, chumrosa d'midosha, that was made out of a certain type of wood. Some say this almok. In other words, this signet-type ring that he went out with was not a piece of jewelry. It wasn't a very fancy type of thing that a person would wear to adorn themselves. And nevertheless, he took this into his courtyard. Norfolk, he took this type of a wooden signet ring that you normally wouldn't be using on Shabbos. He nevertheless used it in his courtyard. He wore this ring in his courtyard. Likewise, he did another thing. The Ishti Maya, he drank water. The Achim Kfela Arma, that was heated up by a non-Jewish chef, by a non-Jewish person, and there was a concern of Bishul Akum, apparently, and nevertheless, he wasn't concerned about this, and Rav Yehuda Nesiya did both of these things. Shomer Rav Ami Ikbin, and Rav Ami heard about this, and he was not happy. He felt that Rav Yehuda Nesiya shouldn't have done both of these things, to wear this chumrus of the medosha, as well as to drink the water that was heated up by the kfeil armor, by the goyish chef, the Aramean chef. Now, what was Rav Ami upset about? Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "My time Ikbin." Why was Rav Ami upset? Is it because imishom chumrus of the medosha? It's because he was taking this ring, this signet ring, that was not an adornment type of a ring, and therefore it would be something that would normally be mukta, but that's not true. Hatanya, we learn that hashirin, which are various types of jewelry that you pin onto yourself, a brooch, or an azamim, these are nose rings, vatabos, and finger rings, hare hein kichol akelim. They are like any other utensil, they're not considered mukta, and hanitolim b'chatzer, you're allowed to go and move them in the chatzer. And this would be true, even if it was something that was mukta, if you need it for tzarech gufo mekomo, if you need it for either its place or you needed to use it in some way, you can use this signet ring to go and open up a walnut, so in this situation, you're allowed to go and move it, so it's not mukta. So Rav Yosef said, that can't be what Rav Ami was upset about, that it was mukta and he was moving it, that just wouldn't be the case. So that obviously wasn't what he was upset about. The other thing, it was the water that was heated up by the kveil armor. Imishum de ishte mayim de achim kveil armor. That also wouldn't be a problem because ha amar. Now the gear said we have a Shmuel, but it should be Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok Amar Rav. The Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok said in the name of Rav that in fact kol shenechol kamo shuchai ein bo mishum bishulei nachrim. Something which could be eaten in the raw state, it doesn't need to be cooked, and nevertheless you cook it. So you have an apple. If you want to bake an apple, that doesn't make it bishlaka because you could have eaten it raw. So therefore, something that could have been eaten raw, and nevertheless you choose to cook it, or a goy cooks it, that's not called bishlakum. So again, water can be drunk without being heated up. So therefore, the fact that the kveil armor, this professional chef, this Aramean chef, heated it up, that doesn't make it into bishlakum. So again, it wasn't the problem with the ring. It wasn't a problem with the hot water. So why was Rav Ami upset? So again, we give the same terrors we gave before. Adam Choshev Shaini. A great person like Rav Yehuda Nesiya should be very much aware that other people are going to watch what he's doing and they're going to make kulas out of what he did without realizing that it could have tremendous consequences or a takala for other people. And therefore, Rav Ami was upset that Rav Yehuda Nesiya wasn't a little bit more careful. Even though he didn't do anything technically wrong, he felt that as an Adam Choshev, he should have been more careful. Amr Chanan Lama Rav. Rav Chanan tells us another din in the name of Rav. Kotzeitz Adam Dekel B'moid. A person is allowed to go and chop down a palm tree on Chol HaMoed, not because he needs the wood, but Afa Pishe Nutzarech Ela Lenisoris Shelo, because he needs the sawdust that would come by chopping down this tree. So he needs something that's relatively of minor significance, and therefore, nevertheless, he's allowed to do this on Chol HaMoed. It is still considered a tzorech of the moed, and he's allowed to do this, even though most of the tree he doesn't need, and he's going to save that for after yontif usage. And nevertheless, Rav Chanan said, in the name of Rav, you're allowed to do this. When Abaye heard this, he was very unhappy. Layit alei Abaye. Abaye said, anybody who follows this should have a curse be upon them. He cursed anybody that would follow this very, very lenient ruling. Another ma'isa shoya. Rav Ashi havalei Abba bishalanya. Ravashi had an Abba. Abba is a forest, the Yah, Ravashi tells us, in a place known as Shalanya. So he had a forest over there, and Ozal lemiktsaye b'cholodim o'ada, he went to go chop down a tree that he had in this forest because he needed the sawdust. He needed not the wood itself, but he needed the sawdust over here. And therefore, he followed the opinion of Chananel on the Rav that you're allowed to cut it down, even though you only need the nesores. Amalei Rav Shela. So Rav Shelo came from the city of Shalanya, said to Rav Ashi, Really? Are you allowed to do this? My daitoch. Are you following the opinion to come with Chanan al Marav? You're following that opinion? But Abaye didn't like it. Abaye cursed anybody that followed that opinion. So how can you go and follow that opinion? Nevertheless, Rav Ashi said, Amalei, lo shmi ali, klomar, lo siruli. He said, I didn't hear it. But what he really was saying was, I don't hold like that opinion of Abaye. I hold like the opinion of Chanan al Marav that you're allowed to do this. And therefore, I did it. What happened? Ishtamet Narga, as he's finishing chopping the wood, boy lemifseke leshoke, he almost cut off his thigh because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, was angry at him for just dispensing with what Abaye had said. And since he was somewhat disrespectful to Abaye, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that he almost cut off his leg when he was continuing to chop the wood. And the simple understanding is Shafke b'hodr asa. So he said he got a message. He said, from a Shemayim, it wasn't right that I just dispensed with what Abaye said, and therefore he stopped chopping and he went home. That's the second shot that Rashi has in the Ksiv Yad. The first shot that Rashi has is that he waited until Rav Shela, who came from this place, Shlanya, left, and then he continued chopping afterwards. Okay, I think the first shot that we brought down here now, which is that he stopped doing this, he took an idea that he was wrong for ignoring Abaye, is probably the more simple shot. Another story. Rav Yehuda shor lemeikar kitana ulemikdal kishusa ulemiyakar shumshmi. Rav Yehuda permitted these three things to be done. Number one, to uproot flax, kisna's flax. He allowed people to go and uproot the flax. We'll see why. He allowed them to go and cut down kishusa. Those are the barley hops. He allowed them to cut those down. Ulemiyakar shumshmi, and also to go and uproot shumshmi, sesame plants, during the Chol HaMoed period of time. Now, why? Abaye says, Rav Yosef, I understand Bishlama Kis, nor why he did allow him to uproot the flax, because Chazi l'chafifa, because you can eat it for shampooing. That's a simple type of chafifa. Rashi gives another pshat for chafifa, that you would use it to cover up the food, and therefore it's permitted, because it's a sarach of cholamoid. Likewise, he understood, why did he allow him to be l'miktak kishusa, to go cut the barley hops? Because kishusa chazi l'shechu, you needed it to make beer, and therefore that's why they were drinking the beer on cholamoid. That's why he allowed him to do this. However, the shumshimi, why did he allow him to be ma'akar shumshimi? Why did he allow him to cut off the sesame seed plants? El shumshimi l'may chazi. What value is it? Apparently, that wouldn't be ready to eat it on Chol HaMoed. You have to do something to it to process it, and it would take longer than Chol HaMoed to do it. So therefore, what was the hetter to go and pick these shumshimi? Shmuel says, no. Chazi l'nazaye the isbu. There are seeds inside of it that are able to be eaten or able to be used. And therefore, that's why he allowed him to go and be ma'akir, the shumshimi, on Chol HaMoed. Even though most of it would not be able to be used, there were parts of it that could be used, and therefore was allowed. Finally, we conclude this section. Rav Yani Havalei Hao Pardesa. Rav Yani had a certain orchard, the Moto Zimne B'chol Demawada, whose appropriate time, the time came, that it should be picked, the fruits should be picked from it on Chol HaMoed. So what did he do? Katvei. He did pick the fruits, because otherwise it would be a dover of it. However, other people saw this and they said, "Woo! If Rav Yani could do this, then we should also do this. So instead of us rushing to do everything before Yontif, let us go do it also on Chol HaMoed, like Rav Yani did." Again, this is like the Odom Choshev Shiny. Rav Yani should have realized that people are going to see what he's doing, not know all the facts, and say, this is Heter Gomer. So Lashana, next year, Shauye Kule Alma. Everybody delayed in picking their fruits, Lepardesayu, L'Chol HaMoed. They all waited till Chol HaMoed when they had time off from work, so now they go pick their fruits. Rav Yani saw this and he said, I made a mistake. And Afkari Rav Yani Lepardise Haushata. And at that moment, Rav Yani said, I'm not going to benefit from my orchard. I see I did something wrong. I caused this takala, so I'm going to cancel myself. He punished himself and he said, I'm not going to let myself get benefit from my orchard. He was mafgrid to the poor people that they could go and take the fruits from his orchard. Some aren't going to use the word haushata. They said permanently. He said, since this field was a takol for me, I'm giving it up and giving it over to the poor people. Or in any event, he did it at least for that year. Rav Yani took the musa that we just explained over here, that Adam Chashu Shani has to be careful from his actions to make sure that people don't do a takola, which unfortunately occurred because even though he had a hetter to do this, they didn't necessarily realize it. We still really should do the next Mishnah and the Gemara because it's still on our dot, but since we're running a little bit late already, we'll say this tomorrow, and with this we conclude today's shiur.